It seems a pretty simple story. And as I said, I'm sure it's one that most of you are familiar with, because this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is fairly unique. It is the only miracle, other than the resurrection, that all four Gospels report. All four of them report this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And we read it this morning at an interesting moment in our church life. For one thing, it is a wonderful coincidence, although I don't believe in coincidences, that we read it on a Sunday in which we're celebrating communion. This is also the Sunday just before we begin our fall stewardship campaign, which starts next Sunday. And I think both these events tie into this story. I'll get to that. But first, let me, since the passage in lectionary kind of jumps us right into this story, let me remind you of the context. The passage that Neil just read for us began when Jesus heard about John. Now, just before this story in Matthew's gospel, Matthew tells us of the death, the beheading of John the Baptist by King Herod. Very gruesome story. That's the news that Jesus has just gotten when our passage this morning begins. And it's interesting that Jesus goes away, tries to go off by himself to a secluded spot. Remember, Jesus is not just a colleague of John the Baptist. John is the one who baptized Jesus, and they were related through his mother. And so you might imagine how this news hits Jesus, who of course is divine and knows all that's going to happen, but is also human, fully human. And like us, when he gets such news, it affects him. So he tries to go off to a secluded spot. This is part evidence for my theory that Jesus was a bit of an introvert, which gives me hope as an introvert. But Jesus goes off, and the crowds who've been following him hear. They know where he's going. He's going by boat. They go by foot. And when Jesus arrives in this, what he thought was going to be a secluded spot, there's 5,000 plus people there. And unlike some of us who, if we went off for a retreat time and 5,000 people showed up, might think, "Arr! How can I get away?" Jesus, he may have felt that, but we're told he felt compassion. He loves these folks. He loves these frustrating, annoying folks who won't leave him alone. That also gives me hope that Jesus might love us as well. So he has compassion on them. And he spends the day healing the sick out there in the middle of nowhere. Now, but of course, the disciples are getting a little nervous. Here's all these people out in the middle of nowhere, and it's getting late. And so the disciples pull Jesus aside and say, "Hey, you've got to send these people away so they can go off back to their villages and get something to eat." And Jesus says something fascinating to them. He says, "Don't send them away. You feed them." I sometimes wonder if that's what God is telling me after some of my prayers. You know, the things I pray for. "God, can't you send peace in this world? Help those children on the border there. Help the hungry and the sick in this community." And I sometimes wonder, maybe God's answer to me is, "You go feed them." Maybe. It's a great response. It's not a response the disciples particularly wanted to hear, just as it may not be the response we always want to hear. "You go do it. You're my hands and feet. You're right there. You go help them." Well, the disciples look around and say, "We can't feed all these people." Notice what the disciples say. "We have nothing." Oh, except 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that doesn't really count. "We have nothing. We don't have enough. This is the small meal we brought to feed the 13 of us. We don't have enough." I mentioned we're going into our stewardship campaign next Sunday. The disciples are coming from a mindset of scarcity. "We don't have enough. Oh, sure, we've got some loaves and fish, but, you know, we got to hold on to those. We've got a long trip back. How many of us in our lives, in all sorts of ways, not just financially, not just when it comes to stewardship, come from a mindset of scarcity? I'm not sure I have enough. I've got to hold on to what I've got. It's a very human response, especially if you have lived in certain periods of time and think, hey, I remember when we had nothing. I've got to. It's very human. This idea of scarcity, finite amount of resources. We've got to hold on to what we've got. God comes from a very different mindset. God's kingdom is all about abundance, not scarcity. Because God knows the resources of God's kingdom are infinite, enough for all. And that's why Jesus says to the disciples, and this would make a great stewardship motto, by the way, bring what you've got here to me. It may seem small, tiny, meager, but bring it to me. And so the disciples do. And Jesus says, everyone sit down. And he sits down with these meager provisions in front of him. And Matthew tells us, and I love this detail, Jesus looked up to heaven. I was pondering this week, why does Jesus look up to heaven? You suppose he's kind of saying, okay, God, don't let me down here. I'm promising to feed all these people. Let's go. Or maybe, I also thought, maybe he's just giving a little wink, you know? All right, Dad, here we go. But he looks up to heaven, and then he blesses and breaks the bread. And maybe he broke the fish. I don't know. They don't tell us that detail. That might be a little strange. But clearly, this breaking and blessing of the bread is foreshadowing so much that is to come in the life of Jesus, the Last Supper, primarily. But also, that's what Jesus will do when he is raised from the dead. That's how his disciples recognize him, when he breaks bread with them. And of course, all of that is in our hearts and minds as we break bread together. Jesus blesses the bread, breaks it, and begins to pass it out. And I can just imagine the disciples standing there on the side, you know, maybe sort of like our hospitality committee once in a while, thinking, do we have enough? You know, this meager provision is not going to last through the first 10 people. And kind of watching as it gets passed, and 10 people get fed, and there's still some food left. And then 100, and then 1,000, and then 2,000, and then 3,000. And I'm remembering what Joe Habathier said when our Bible study group read this passage not too long ago. And Joe said, you know, how did they know it was 5,000? Was there someone there with a clicker, you know, keeping track? And probably not. But a large group, thousands of them. And they get to the end. The last person is served. And everyone, we're told, was filled. Everyone got as much as they wanted. Some translations even say everyone was satisfied. You ever tried to satisfy a group of 5,000 people? Everyone is satisfied and full, and there's leftovers. And not just leftovers. How many baskets of leftovers? You remember? 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me 5 loaves and 2 fish could probably easily fit in 1 basket. And they've got 12 baskets left over. It sure sounds to me like at the end they had more than they started with. God is a God of abundance. God is a God who says, whatever your gifts, bring them to me and I'll multiply them. You may not think you have enough for whatever the task ahead is, but you bring them to me. Let me bless them, and they can go further than you ever imagined. God is a God of abundance and of multiplying gifts. In fact, when we pool our resources and share them together, We might even end up with more than we started with. That's God's way. A God of abundance, not scarcity. A God of multiplying gifts. A God who says, together, you can do more than separately. As we share communion, as we break bread together this day, I invite you to keep this story in mind. But also, as we head into our stewardship campaign for the fall, I invite you to keep it in mind as well. I don't know if you're like me, but when I look at my pledge card each year, I think, do I have enough? What can I give? I can't give more, can I? I don't know what the year ahead will bring. That's a mindset of scarcity. Now, I'm not saying go beyond your means, you know, be wildly extravagant. But keep this in mind, that God can multiply gifts. And also let me mention, I love the fact that our finance chairperson, Frank Boca, has said to the committees, as they're putting together their budgets for next year, be bold, think big. That's a mindset of abundance and blessing. Good for you, Frank. You're also the first finance chair in any church I've ever encountered who didn't say, you got to scrimp and save here. So, good for you. Be bold. Do that when it comes to your stewardship this year. Don't be ridiculous, but be bold. Remember that God will bless our gifts, no matter how meager, no matter how small they may seem to us. And if we are willing to give and to share our gifts, God has promised to do the multiplication. Amen.